Did you know that women were excluded from clinical research policy by federal law until 1993? Women belong in scientific research. They are essential. But not only that, how can we trust any of the data when it comes to our bodies if nothing used to exist? Ritual took this gap and conducted a university-led human clinical trial for their Essential for Women 18 Plus multivitamin to assess its efficacy. The results? It increased vitamin D levels by 43% and omega-3 DHA levels by 41% in just 12 weeks. That's some data we can trust. Ritual is a clinically backed multivitamin for women 18 plus with high quality and traceable key ingredients in clean, bioavailable forms. It is USP verified, meaning you can trust what you're putting in your body and know that it actually works. And only about 1% of supplement brands on the market have the USP verified mark. Not only does Ritual take your health seriously, they are also invested in the health of the planet. Ritual is a female-founded B Corp. They use scientific tools to select lower carbon packaging, prioritize sustainably sourced ingredients, and set ambitious climate goals. I have been through the ringer when it comes to vitamins, and that's why I love Ritual, because I can actually trust that it does what it's supposed to do, and it comes from a company that actually cares. No more shady business. Ritual's Essential for Women 18 Plus is a multivitamin you can actually trust. Get 25% off your first month at ritual.com/yogagirl. Start Ritual or add Essential for Women 18 Plus to your subscription today. That's ritual.com/yogagirl for 25% off. Welcome to a brand new episode of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. And from the heart, my goodness, we are so from the heart these days, living from the heart, listening from the heart, feeling from the heart. I don't know if it's just me, but I really feel like we are reaching a heightened level of heart openness right now. And with everything unfolding in the world, it's quite beautiful to see. You know, never in my life have I received such an outpouring of messages from people asking for advice on what to do. You know, I'm not an expert. I just speak publicly on things to do and options for how to be of service. And even on the outside in this way, it's beautiful to see and share the outpouring of love that's possible in this world. So I just want to acknowledge that. I just felt my heartstrings pull a little bit when I said from the heart, the name of this show. So my loves, oh, I want to envelop you and just wrap you up in a big hug. I just want to hold you. And I also want to be held. I wish we could all be in a big cuddle puddle somewhere in real life. I'm really craving that real life connection. You know, online's great and I'm so grateful that we have that ability, but I'm missing the IRL stuff. I really am. So how about we ground into the body a little bit? Let's do that. When these past 2 weeks, when have we not totally needed to ground into the body? Some days I have to remind myself to take deep breaths as I'm moving through my day. It's all so very intense. So for this practice, or for just this moment right now, close your eyes if you like. And place a hand to the heart. The other hand can come to the belly. And take a moment right away just to feel, just to check in. Sometimes it can take a little while to really arrive, you know, just because we've closed our eyes and kind of we're here and we're ready for the thing doesn't mean that every part of us has totally caught up. So as you hold a hand to your heart and a hand to your belly, just give yourself a little bit of time. Time to arrive. Time to settle. Or time to notice if you feel unsettled. And time to listen a little bit. Maybe already You can feel yourself taking deeper breaths. Usually it's that natural response to our presence. It's quite wonderful, actually, that the moment we shift our awareness from our thinking mind and our thoughts and our judgments and problems and issues and thinking about all the million things we think about all day long, and we shift that awareness back home, you know, we bring it back to us, back to the heart, back to the body. Immediately, we take a deeper breath. You know, it's the body's natural response to our presence is to soften into a deeper energy, a deeper inhale, a deeper exhale. So give yourself the space for that. And sensing the breath, how it's moving in the area of your belly, the inhale and the exhale. Just noticing that here. And then sensing the breath, the area of your heart, for the inhale and the exhale, noticing what's moving right here. And we take a few breaths, just like this. Breathing in, breathing out, breathing in, and breathing out. It doesn't have to be much more complicated than this. You know, it's interesting how as human beings we have to remind ourselves of the most fundamental basic needs that we have as people. It's like we need to remind ourselves to breathe deeply. We need to remind ourselves to drink enough water. Remind ourselves to get out there and breathe fresh air. I think there's a part of us that's just constantly yearning to come back home to this primal natural state where we're always in a place of presence. And it's hard, you know, the world we live in, it's hard. It's hard to fully be here. It takes practice, takes dedication, takes being able to give yourself the space, the time, the energy. So as you're doing that right now, notice what you feel inside. Notice what you can sense inside. What does it feel like to be here in this moment, in this world, in this breath? And as you continue breathing deeply here, see if there's anything you might be able to soften right now. As I said that, I felt a palpable shift in my upper back. I didn't know I was kind of tensing up my shoulders there. I wasn't aware. And I just felt my shoulders drop. See if there's something similar to that that might be true for you. Is there something you can soften in this moment here now? Soften it. Give yourself permission to let go. You're holding so much. I know you are. No matter what you have going on, you know, personally, you are holding a lot. Humanity is holding a lot right now. And it takes effort, right? It takes a bit of tension, takes strength to hold all day long. So give yourself permission now to balance all of that holding, all of that holding on, with a little bit of letting go, with a little bit of softening. If there's something you can put down right now, put it down. Just linger here in your heart space with yourself. I'm just sitting here, eyes closed, hand to heart and hand to belly. Feeling very soft in my body right now. Just guiding you through these few minutes, just talking here. I feel like I'm letting go a little bit. You know that feeling when you're in your meditation practice and the timer goes off and you know it's time to enter the next thing, or you're in Shavasana and your yoga teacher starts guiding you back. The feeling of not being quite ready, the feeling of, oh, just want to linger here in this quiet place for a little bit. That's what I'm feeling right now. I just want to linger here a little bit. I think lingering in a moment like this one is probably as close to a cuddle puddle that we can all get from afar, joining and connecting together on a podcast, right? So let's take a deep breath here together, breathing into the belly and up into the heart. Open the mouth, sigh it out. If you want to blink your eyes open, you can. If you want to stay with your eyes closed, oh, do it.
Is your child struggling with a specific subject or need help with homework? Are they asking questions that you're not sure you can fully answer? IXL Learning is an online learning program for kids. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies. IXL is designed. This program will improve your kids' grades. Studies done in almost every state in the country, the kids who had IXL are consistently doing better. Powered by advanced algorithms, IXL gives the right help to each kid no matter the age or personality. And it doesn't have to eat up all your time. One subscription gets you everything for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. So don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 95 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/audio. Visit IXL.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Hi. Hi. Hi, my loves. You know, a little while ago, I realized that it's time to record the podcast and I didn't feel like it. I just, you know, some days I have this, some days it's just like I run into the podcast room and I turn on the mic and I'm just giddy with excitement. And some days I sit down and I have no idea what I'm feeling or what I'm going to say or anything. And some days I feel resistance, like, oh, what am I going to talk about today? You know, it takes a certain kind of commitment to keep a weekly podcast going for 5 years now, and a daily podcast. You know, I spend a lot of time sitting at this microphone talking to the world, but also talking to myself, and it's weird sometimes. And I had this feeling like, oh, I don't feel like it today. I don't know what I'm going to say today. And then the moment I started just guiding us through that little meditation there, I needed that so badly. Wow. So this past week has been a whirlwind of everything. It's kind of one of those things where everything that's big and important has just landed in the same tiny little amount of time. I don't know how that's possible. And Dennis was away in Aruba for 2 weeks. I was alone with Leia, and I had an extraordinary amount of things to get done and figure out, and things I can't delegate. Just, yeah, we have the home course launching now, and it's so soon. It's in a week and a couple of days. We begin our 7-week journey back home to nature, and I'm so excited. I'm just smiling so big. I'm so excited about the course. And we have a lot of things to pull together. I haven't been this busy. I mean, as busy as I've been over the past month, I haven't been in years. I haven't been since way pre-pandemic. And it's a good kind of busy because it's a busy kind of busy of creating something epic, you know? And it just kind of happened that the most intense weeks happened to be when Dennis wasn't here, when really what I could have needed is like, okay, you need to drop off and pick up Leia every day from school, do all activities, like really like lead the way and take charge on the home front and everything else so that I can just sit down and get all of this done. And I really wasn't able to do that. And, you know, we don't have a sitter for her here. So it's just been really trying to navigate and balance these very, very busy, intense, long days. So I haven't slept. And it's been, of course, a combination of this with this emotional overwhelm with everything happening in Ukraine that I feel like I'm doing a good job, or I feel good about the amount of news I'm ingesting. Like every time I post, and this kind of annoys me, but every time I post to like Instagram story or social media, something about something, you know, like something heartbreaking or this has happened, or I get tons of comments from people saying, turn off the news. Why don't you turn off the news? Like, stop watching the news if it makes you feel bad. Like, you're doing this to yourself. And I don't feel like that at all. I feel like I'm really balanced, actually, in how much I take in. I'm not scrolling all day. You know, I don't have like 14 hours a day that I'm on my phone just doing that. But I'm as present as I can be. You know, I have had to unfollow a couple of accounts because they were posting, yeah, gory and really, really violent and morbid things that are reality. And it's good that that's out in the world, but it was too much for my heart to take. So I'm having these chosen moments every day where I'm making a conscious decision to go in and check like these 4 or 5 social media accounts that I follow with really trustworthy news. And most of them are people in Ukraine, like actual real people, real families going through it, along with journalists and people. And then I have my news sources that I just kind of check in with a little bit. And when something happens, which sometimes it's like something big has come along or someone has said something in a speech, Dennis, who really like follows the news, not on social media, but reads the news online, and he'll say, okay, you know, this happened. Do you want to look at it or you want to watch this video or something? But most of the day, the emotional overwhelm I feel doesn't come from just watching the news all day. It comes from this heaviness in my heart of knowing that there is so much suffering. And it's really overwhelming. It's really a lot. It really is. I mean, it's not as much for us as it is for the people actually going through it, but it's a lot for us as people, just as humanity holding this. It is absolutely overwhelming. So I'm sensing this kind of, yeah, this emotional overwhelm there. And then I have had this kind of work overwhelm in a way where I just haven't been able to get to what I need to get to. So I'm accumulating things and I haven't been sleeping, right? I've been up late at night and then not been able to really settle and rest. And for me, when I don't get like I'm a bad sleeper overall, for me, a 7-hour night is a great night. Like I'm very, very content if I get 7 hours. And if Dennis is here and I have my sleep mask on and the blinds are closed, and the moment Leia wakes up in the morning, Dennis like takes her out and out of the bedroom, then I can totally go back to sleep and I can sleep. Like if he lets me sleep and I can sleep till 10, you know, I can have a great night's sleep and a long sleep if I have the ability to. But when I'm feeling overwhelmed, it's much harder for me to tap into that deep sleep. So I wake up from everything. And we have a dog, our oldest dog, Laika. She's 14. And you know, when you get old, you sleep less. So like she wakes up at 4 every day. And we have these wooden floors in the house. And we intentionally didn't put down like a big carpet, or we just have a little rug in the living room, but that's it. So when the dogs walk around on the wooden floor, it's just like tip, tap, tip, tap, tip, tap. But it's really loud. It's really loud. And at 4 a.m. every day, I wake up from that like tip, tap, like pitter-patter, you know, from her. And she just kind of paces. Like, she'll wake up, and I know she, like, walks over to our door because her and Keela, like, our two big girls, they sleep in the living room. And Ringo sleeps in bed with us. It's just our bedroom is too small. And Laika also, she can't sleep too close to Keela. Like, they couldn't sleep in bed with us because everything Keela does, she annoys her. So she, like, she's kind of the boss of everybody. So when anyone does something that she doesn't agree with, like, one of the other dogs comes to the dinner table and begs, she walks up and she'll snap. She'll, like, growl at them, go back to bed, like, go lie down. You're not, this is not allowed. You know, all of those things. And she's also in a really grumpy mood now. I mean, she's 14. She's old. She has arthritis. I think she's in pain. I give her pet CBD every day. She just growls a lot. And when she's growling, it's like, I can't sleep. So anyway, they sleep in the living room. But she just paces, right? So she walks up to the bedroom door and she's just standing there. And I wake up right at that moment and I know she's just standing there. And then she walks back and she walks like a lap around the kitchen table. And then she goes to the front door and then she goes back to the center of the room. And then she comes back to our door. And it's just like tap, 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 like her little claws, right, on the wooden floor. And I'm just wide awake. So even on the mornings where, like, Leia has slept a little longer, or, you know, I'm just awake and I can't go back to a deep sleep. So over these 2 weeks when Dennis has been gone, I have this Oura ring. It's like a ring that measures your sleep in detail. I really love it. I love it and I hate it. Like, I feel so good when I get a good sleep score because it means, like, I feel so accomplished. Like, oh my God, you know, sometimes, like, I wake up and I feel like I didn't have a great sleep, but then my Oura ring tells me I had a very good, like, I got a good sleep score, and I immediately feel amazing. Like, yes, I did have a great night's sleep. And the other way around, like, I can wake up in the morning and feel totally fine, and then I look at my Oura score and it's really bad. And it can be a different things. It can be like they measure your heart rate variability, your pulse, like your REM sleep, your light sleep, your deep sleep, how many wakings you have at night, a bunch of different things, your temperature, and all of these combinations, you know, that gives you like a total sleep score. So I could have had like a restless night where just I dreamt a lot and I moved around in bed, which doesn't mean I wasn't asleep at that time. But then you get a low sleep score if you didn't get like quality sleep. So some days I have a great night's sleep, or I feel good when I wake up, and then I look at the sleep score and it's not good. And I'm like, oh my God, I had such a bad night's sleep. Like, it really skews your opinion of sleep, which I don't like. But it's helpful in the times when I'm really trying to focus on getting better sleep, because it helps me identify what's helpful and what isn't. Like, if I stay away from my phone after dinner time, it shows up. Like, it's so obvious that I fall asleep immediately. The moment that my head hits the pillow, I'm asleep. And if I'm on my phone or at a screen late at night, you know, it's really clear. Like, it takes a long time. So anyway, but over these past 2 weeks, like, I had several days where my Oura ring was like, don't even bother getting out of bed. Like, my Oura ring is just like, no, it's terrible. I had a sleep score of like 52, and you're like 100 is good. So anything 80 and up is considered a good night's sleep. And I was like at 50, which is basically like, are you alive, woman? Like, what are you doing? And I had a couple of nights where I had like four nights. And I mean, I can't function like that, but it's just been that kind of time. A lot of it at night has been, I start thinking about suffering. That's really been the thing keeping me up at night. And I start thinking about, yeah, little stories that I've read throughout the day, or videos I've heard throughout the day, and, you know, and certain things just kind of stick with me. And then I think about them and I get really emotional about them late at night. And then I have a really hard time winding down. So I'm sitting here now, you know, Dennis is back. He's been back for 2 days. And I'm this combination of stressed and overwhelmed and really grateful. Yeah, those are my, I'm stressed, overwhelmed, tired, and so grateful. Those really are my big fours right now. I feel anchored into a sense of gratitude that makes everything totally easy somehow. I am so grateful that the reason I'm working really, really hard and long hours is that I've created a course that I feel so good about and so excited about. It's like a good kind of, good kind of feeling, you know. And I'm so grateful. So many people have signed up and are joining me on the journey. I'm so grateful. Everything is coming together. I'm so grateful for our team. I'm just super grateful, you know. And then with this overwhelm with everything in Ukraine, I feel so grateful that I have a home. Oh my God, I feel so grateful that I have a warm bed to sleep at night. I have a fireplace to light when I get home, that I have food on the table, that I have a total sense of, okay, it's not a total sense of safety because I'm worried about stuff, but I'm safe, right? I have no immediate threats. I have no major, like no injustice is happening to me. I have this good, safe, secure life. And every day, every fucking day, I wake up in the morning, I have this feeling of thank God. I'm so thankful. And every time I come into contact with someone who is affected by this war, who's affected by this crisis, who had to flee, I am reminded again and again and again and again and again. And I have so many of those touch points every day that it's like every time I talk to someone who needs something, which is all every day, I get reminded of my own blessing right away. It's like, okay, someone here needs a bed. They have no place to sleep. They just arrived by boat. Like, how can I help them? Who can I pair them with? And as I'm doing that, it's just this feeling in my heart of this pain and this gratitude at the same time. And it's important to remind ourselves as humans that we are allowed to be both, right? It's not arrogant, it's not selfish, it's not egotistical to feel grateful for what you have. I actually think it's our moral obligation right now to not take our shit for granted, right? It's not like you should be suffering now and that's going to help other people suffer. Like, no, you should appreciate what you have, because that also reminds us what we're all fighting for. We all want everyone to have that same warm, comfortable bed at night. Like, that's the whole point. That's the whole purpose. And who would we be if we weren't appreciating having that right now? You know, we need to.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
So, yeah, I'm sitting here. I mean, it's 10 p.m. and the last thing I did today before I got home late was I went to go see a house. Some really like beautiful things are unfolding, you know, people coming together to help make a difference. And I had this idea, like, okay, you know, how can I rally funds to pay for a rental? You know, what would it take to get a rental for 3 months, for 6 months, for a year? And especially where we live, like we're not in Stockholm. we're kind of on the countryside, you know, like getting a proper, like a big house that could house a whole big family. If it's out in the country and it's not like on the water and it's not in the middle of a city, like prices are actually really totally doable. I mean, it's a lot to rent a whole house, of course, but I could just see, I'm like, if I reach out to all the people I know, maybe we can raise funds online, like, or maybe we can just like pace, maybe we can just swing it, right? Like we will figure this out. Like I have, I kind of have, I always had my feet in two sides in a way. You know, I grew up with a single mom who really had to fight for everything. And then my dad is a really wealthy guy. So I was kind of grew up with this crazy scarcity mentality of like, there's not enough. And then this abundance mentality of like, well, there is so much, which was really challenging when I grew up. You know, it was really confusing, but I feel really grateful for it now because I can navigate the world with these two very differing viewpoints, right? I don't take my shit for granted, but I also don't walk around with this feeling of like, there's never enough for me. I feel balanced about money now. And, you know, being able to really go for something like this, like, is this crazy? What would it take to rally the funds to long-term rent or buy with the intention to actually create long-term refugee housing? Like, that's the purpose of this. There's no motive other than service. And it's felt so good to rally that side of my family for this really great cause, like really. And it's been really beautiful to connect with my dad in this more vulnerable, heartfelt place where I can really just, it's like every day that passes, I can just see this, how this is melting his heart, you know? And every day we're on the phone with, okay, well, there's this family here, because people are reaching out in different ways. Like my dad is married to a Ukrainian woman. So of course, the personal connection with, you know, Ukrainian people, it's endless. It's literally endless. It's, yeah, direct links to people who are in need, like every single day. And then my sister on my dad's side, but not this family. So I have a sister who is, okay, let me not fuck up her age. She's 24. This year she turns 25. And she's half Ukrainian. So her mom is 100% Ukrainian and the whole family is in Kiev. So we just have so many people in Ukraine who can actually directly reach out and say, here is what we need, right? Or people who have been able to get out, who are making it to Sweden. So it's been this kind of unique way of being able to support and help folks, is not just going the route of the big organization, but actually dealing with individual people, because there's the need is so huge and so big. And so aside from this, like what my family is doing and trying to do in a very sustainable way, which I'm really proud of the energy put toward this and the resources put toward this. It's just, it's truly beautiful. But in addition to that, the whole community here has really rallied to help open up and find space. So I don't know if anybody listening follows me on social media, but where we spent all of last month filming in this really beautiful space with these big rounded like yellow windows. And it's this building next to a castle here. It's just this really, it's just this really gorgeous like space that we rented just to film things for the course. And now people in the community have rallied together to rent this space to house it just for people who are in need. And it's this kind of puzzle of like, okay, well, who can provide food and can these people stay here? And then how do you puzzle families together? Like that's also a thing. It's like you need to give everybody their space and their privacy, but there are so many people coming in. So how do you navigate that? And then there's a need for, of course, like food and sheets and medication. And it's so much, you know. I was telling Dennis today, I'm like, I would hire like a project manager and pay them just to logistically like ace this situation so that we can maximize the amount of support that we can give, right? And it's also like my brother's, like there's a house next to my brother's house that's kind of rented, but the guy doesn't really live there. So it's like, okay, well, can we use the other rooms here? And friends of the family whose kids just moved out and they have two rooms. And then this neighbor over there has like one room. And then these people over there have a summer house and they're not going to come now. So that's available. You know, there's such an outpouring of people just reaching out saying, well, I have this, I have this, I have this. And even the organizations that I've been talking to, they kind of shut down their applications for volunteers because they were so overwhelmed. And it's like, hey, we have to utilize what we have before we just let people apply to help, you know. And it really does take this unbelievable like amount of organization and logistics to figure this stuff out. And then as people arrive, or as I'm talking to people on the phone, or as I'm, you know, it's just every person you meet, every person I speak to, it's immediate. You like all of the organizational stuff just kind of falls away, and none of that. The only thing that matters is that they are safe, right? The only thing that matters is that they have a warm bed sleep in that night, and just we'll take it step by step. You know, it's really this basic human compassion. You know, what can we extend? How can we be of service? And like, we'll figure it out. And it's such a weird time to be alive. It's such a weird thing to navigate. It's so sensitive. It's so painful. It's so traumatic. It's really crazy. You know, my dad was telling me today that like all these kids that we're helping now, or these families now, like several of them are going to start the same school as my little brother, and they're going to like start as soon as they can. And I'm just thinking about that, like, wait, like 2 weeks ago, all of these people had their normal lives. They were living at home in their cities, in their towns, with their families, going to work, going to school, normalcy. And then overnight, all of this is completely uprooted. They're risking their lives. They left everything behind. And now it's only 2 weeks later, like we're helping them look for schooling options. You know, I can't wrap my head around what the actual experience of that kind of upheaval must be like, you know. And I know, you know, all we can do to support now is to help as much as we can help, and to make sure that their needs are met now, and that there is enough, you know, all of the emotional support that's available, that it's there. But it also feels like, I don't know, it feels, in a way, it feels small. You know, it's kind of like, the feeling I have, it's like someone had their entire arm cut off, and we're like, here's a Band-Aid, you know, because even if they have a safe space to be now, and they're getting help to figure out what the longer term situation is now, you know, and maybe they can imagine like a future that's going to, you know, that's at least safe from harm. And it's still like they've lost everything, right? So how do you fix that? You can't fix that, you know. There's a part of this that's just also really heartbreaking and really hopeless, because you can't fix any of that. You can just minimize the future damage by making sure that they don't feel uprooted for a day longer than they have to, you know. And my mind goes to these stories that I can't stop thinking about. Did you hear of the little boy, the 11-year-old boy who walked 700 kilometers? It's an 11-year-old boy, and I don't know what happened to his family, if he lost them already, or he had a phone number written down on his arm, and he walked across the whole entire country to get to the border, where he found someone who could call the number written on his arm to find an extended relative who he was able to reunite with. It's like 11 years old. You know, how does one find that level of resilience? And it's like, well, not from choice, right? People become totally resilient because they're forced to, because of things they didn't want to have happen to them that was completely out of their control. And we're looking at a whole country of millions and millions and millions of people, and it's never going to be the same. And the amount of loss to kind of comprehend with that, it's too much for, I think it's too much for a human mind to grasp.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
So, yeah, I'm looking at what would it take to really set up a permanent house in this way? Could we revive our foundation to help with that, to raise funds specifically for this? And then I'm thinking, should I even be raising funds? Maybe all of this should be just like, I do what I can do on my own in a way, because we are so privileged over here. And I know my family can do a lot on this side. And then I think, okay, well, the long-term level of that, it's like, it's a really big deal. And there are so many people out there ready to help too. And yeah, and at the end of it all, I feel like, are we making a difference at all? Like, my brain is just spinning. Is this enough? Are we making a difference? Is this going to be okay? I should do more. Wait, I'm overwhelmed. Wait, it's like, okay. We can do what we can do, right? We can nudge people to do the thing that we feel is right. And then we have to come back, right? And record our podcasts and finish creating the content for this course that we're launching, and take care of our kid who has a birthday this week, you know, and walk the dogs and take out the trash that's been accumulating, because I didn't go to the dump one time since Dennis left. It's like Sweden, you know, we recycle every single thing. Like, you open a trash bin in Sweden and there's 12 compartments, which obviously is amazing, but it's also really complicated. It's beautiful, but everything goes in a different place. Like, there's different kinds of plastic, hard plastic, soft plastic. You have cardboard here and paper here and compost here and the rest of the trash here and metals here and glass and colored glass. I mean, it's like infinite. So there's only a few things that the actual trash trucks pick up, and the rest you have to go to the recycling center. And normally we go like twice a week. I swear, we spend so much time at the recycling center. Dennis thinks it's like an adventure for him every time. Like, wow. Like, people just grow up like this, so we all know what to do. And he's just like, what is going on? But anyway, I didn't go one time when he was away. I was just so overwhelmed with everything. I just was like, no, like, we'll do this when he gets back. So, you know, trash, literally, I mean, it's recyclable trash, but it's everything that for over 2 weeks has just been kind of sitting here. And I need to get to that, you know, and plan my daughter's birthday party. She's turning 5, which means, so I started this podcast when she was born. She was 1 week old. I have this photo of me nursing her at 1 week, sitting with my headphones on, recording the first show. So when Leia turns 5, this podcast is a week away from turning 5, and it's like a huge celebration. And I want to focus on these things too, you know? It's like, I want her to have the best birthday party ever. And I want to do a good job in the rest of my life. And I want to take care of myself and not burn out. And I want to, you know, enjoy and enjoy the life I'm grateful that I have. And it's a really hard balance to strike. And I know a lot of you listening are kind of feeling into this space too, because it is so very true. And the thing to do when we feel like we're struggling, we don't know what's right, we don't know what's wrong, it's like, oh, it means we're spinning and we're in our heads, right? And the thing to do then is to come back to the body and to ground back in the moment. And there are two ways to really come back, you know, and that's practicing self-care and it's continuing to be of service. Those are the two things, because it's every small act of service, whether it's a tiny thing you're able to do today. I mean, today, and this is the thing, like I felt like I didn't do anything today. Today I posted like one thing to social media and I went, like drove over to go see this house for this viewing. And I feel like I didn't make any difference today. I did, like, whose life did I change today? Who did I actually help? Like, what actually moved forward? Nothing. I did nothing. And then it's like, okay, some things have a longer goal. And there are days when we can give more of ourselves and days when we can give less of ourselves. And that has to be okay too. I think last week, I felt like last week's podcast, I was just rambling about my struggle with being of service and finding balance there, because it is so very hard. And clearly I'm still like trying to find that balance every day. And fundamentally, the reason I struggle is because I don't want anybody to suffer. And the feeling inside of me is so strong. It's like I want to scoop everybody up and just keep everybody safe from harm and lock every war crazy person away in a bunker somewhere to, like, with a therapist to deal with their shit so that the rest of people don't have to suffer because of crazy men who haven't dealt with their demons. I mean, come on. It's just really unbearable to deal with this kind of suffering on this large of a scale, and we don't want it. And the only way to make it through those hard, challenging moments is to take care of myself and to do something to take care of other people. And maybe some days that is helping a whole entire family find a house and a place to live. And some days it's just going to a little viewing. And some days it's donating $10 because that's what you had. Some days it's volunteering. Some days it's sharing something on social media. Some days it's picking up the phone. Some days, like, driving someone where they need to go. Some days it's going to the grocery store to buy something for somebody, you know. I got so many emails today. I think I spoke a little bit on Instagram story about that being of service doesn't have to be moving this whole big mountain. And we have to stop looking at it that way. We have to stop looking at it as something we step out of our regular lives to do and start looking at it as it's a life that we live. It's just living with our hearts open enough that we feel compassion for other people. And that compassion is going to immediately propel us into action. And that's service, right? But it's like an everyday thing. It doesn't matter if it's for your family or for strangers or if it's in a crisis or if it's in a regular Monday. It's like it's the same life. And after that, I got a bunch of emails from people like asking some questions and advice, and something that really like made me smile was like a woman wrote, like, okay, I'm in this city in Sweden and I walked by the migration office today. And the line out the door is like blocks long and it's cold outside and all these people, they don't even have anything to drink and they can't leave the line because if they leave the line, they lose their spot in the line. So like, I don't know what to do. And I feel like you're so creative. Like, do you have any ideas? And I was like, dude, you're already like the fact that you sat down to write an email about what to do, like that is it. That's literally it. Like, if we encounter something, a problem, a suffering, and we don't know what a good response is, or we don't know what a next step is, but we sit down and we write somebody that we think might know, like, fuck, that's your act of service for the day. I mean, seriously, that's the first step, right? It's asking for help. It's asking for advice. It's getting creative to figure something out. And I was like, great, this is amazing. Okay, like, you post something to social media, like a story, a post, saying the detail, like what's the name of the street, what's needed, and then put your contact information and you be the person in charge. Like, where can people come and drop off food and coffee and hot tea? And what restaurants and stores on that street or in the neighborhood are going to want to donate tomorrow, because people are going to be there in the morning. Go. And like, once you post that, like, let me know and I will share it with your contact info. And like, tomorrow morning, you're going to have people there with food and coffee for sure. And then I wrote that and she wrote back and she's like, I just saw someone took that initiative. And there's like food coming now and like it's happening now. And I'm like, well, there you go, you know. So there are so many people out there looking to solve the problems and to be helpful for other people. And it's just about linking together so that we have people to continue getting inspired by, so that we don't feel like we're alone behind our computers and we're totally hopeless. There's nothing we can do. And it's like, you can go and step out into any like immigration office in any country in Europe right now and bring some like, you know, unopened, wrapped, safe, good sandwiches from the bakery and a few cups of coffee, and you're going to make someone's morning, right? So just take the first step, right? Don't leave it at sitting there watching things unfold on your phone and going, oh, I don't know what to do, so I'm just going to keep scrolling here. It's like, you have to go one step further than that, right? There's another step to take and you can do it. And it's Leia's birthday on Sunday. I know it's not really related, but it's me kind of wrapping my head around this week. She's asked for a rainbow party. She wants everything rainbow. She's obsessed with rainbows. And I'm doing my best to get her a really great rainbow party so that we can have a whole day to just be together and celebrate this 5-year-old. How is she 5? Half a decade. I can't believe it. It's a wild time to be a mom. It's a wild time to be alive. And if you're doubting it for any reason and you need to hear it, you're doing a good job. You are. You so are. I know you're caring a lot and you care so much and you're doing a good job, especially you parents. I mean, you really, really, really are. Pandemic to this to who knows what comes next. I hope you are taking really good care of yourself and I hope you are taking really good care of others. I am getting tired, so I'm going to take good care of myself and take myself to bed right now. But have a beautiful weekend. Be of service to yourself and to others, and I'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. If you enjoy the show, please listen, rate, review, and follow all episodes of the Yoga Girl podcast, Conversations from the Heart. Available now for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Odyssey, and wherever you normally get your shows. Of course, a big thank you to my sponsors. Make sure you support them the way they support this podcast. This was a presentation of Cadence 13 Studio, and I will see you next week.